today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
We actually depend on Him and seek Him and trust Him. This doesn't look like it'll work. Well, that's why the Scripture says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. And to put it maybe in our terms and just straight up at you, my ways are better than yours. They're right, and yours are not. We need to listen and depend on the Lord again. If we would learn to depend upon the Lord again in every way, our lives would change drastically.
Deeper and deeper.
What would happen in the body of Christ, or our culture for that matter, if Christians began to fully trust the Lord? We would change. Our churches would change. Our communities would change. The world would change. In today's message, Pastor Troy will exhort us to trust in the Lord and not be afraid. Now make sure to stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew and let's join Pastor Troy for part one of our message entitled, If I Keep My Eyes on Jesus.
We're in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 36. Missionary Hudson Taylor said that God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on Him. That is, those who, instead of thinking, of course God's using me, I have a skill set. Of course God's using me, I'm brilliant. Yeah, He gave me the brains, but I know how to use them. Rather than that kind of a person, God uses those who realize that, yes, they have equipment, yes, they have gifts, but I really need to take it all and lean on Him. My strength comes from Him. Everything that I have comes from Him. God can use those. At the fall, you know the story, Genesis, Adam and Eve, the fall. At the fall, what happened was, and it's what we feel the effects of even today, is that men became independent from God. See, that was the message that it seemed to entice Eve, was you can be as God, knowing good and evil. See, after that point, God said what was good, God said what was bad. Man didn't say, I can decide for myself what's good and what's bad. I will decide for myself what's evil and what's okay. But once she rebelled, once they rebelled, and decided that we can decide for ourselves right from wrong, what they did was they cut the cord to God in dependence upon Him for everything. Direction, what's good, what's bad, and they became independent from God, deciding for themselves right and wrong. And to this day, we still, and this is why we war, we battle, we want what we want, and we don't get it, because we still decide for ourselves right and wrong, what's good and bad, what's for us and what isn't, rather than depending upon the Lord. But did you know that the Bible teaches us to depend on the Lord, to become dependent again upon Him? Consistently throughout the Scriptures, it says, look to Jesus or follow Him. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It also says to abide in Him. You can't produce any fruit unless you abide in Him. Become dependent upon Him. Seek Him again. Just like we were supposed to have been doing all along. But this stumbles us because we think that our eyes are open and we can discern for ourselves good and evil, right and wrong, and what's best for us. You know, we see it as parents. We see it in our kids because we were there. That's the only reason we can see it. Our kids, they think they know right and wrong. They think they know what's right. They think you're uncool and you don't know what you're doing. Then they grow up, they have kids, and they go, oh, I'm acting just like my mom. That's because that's all you can do to survive. You know? But God's desire, God's design, is that we not just live to try to survive and figure it out on our own, but that we actually depend on Him and seek Him and trust Him. This doesn't look like it'll work. Well, that's why the Scripture says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. And to put it maybe in our terms and just straight up at you, my ways are better than yours. They're right, and yours are not. We need to listen and depend on the Lord again. If we would learn to depend upon the Lord again in every way, our lives would change drastically. They would be totally different. We would, here are a few things, there's many things that would happen. One, we would overcome fear. Because it's our experiences, it's our concerns, it's my will that causes me to fear. I want this to happen, and I got to make it happen. And if I follow the Lord, what if it doesn't happen? Well, that means it's not His will. So we would overcome a lot of fears. We'd walk by faith too, because Jesus would be before us. We would be going the direction that He wanted us to go rather than the direction we thought was best for us. And we would be a light to the world, to the lost. Rather than just living our lives to have children, know the Bible, and die and go to heaven, we would actually be different. And not stuffy either, but we would be influential. Not influential, inspirational. Well, we see the story here today of Peter. And he walks on the water. Why? Because his eyes are on Jesus. If we would get our eyes on Jesus, we could do amazing things. If we would just get them there and keep them there. So let's look at our text and see what happens to Peter as he keeps his eyes on Jesus, and what happens when he takes his eyes off of Jesus as well. Verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat, go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. We learned last week that Jesus often went to pray. Prayer to him was more important than sleeping. How many of us would say we're a lot like Christ that way? Not many. But he knew that he needed to set the example and be connected with the Heavenly Father. It says, now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost! And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. I like that. They're in this storm. It's late at night. It says the fourth watch. They divided the evening and the days, really, by four watches. The evening watch, first watch, 6 to 9. You see where I'm going with this? Quarters? 9 to 12 was the second watch. 12 to 3 in the morning was the third watch. So this is around 3, 4 in the morning here. And you're tired. Especially when you've been on the water, you're rowing and the wind is contrary and the waves are raging. These aren't small waves. Not something that might make me afraid. You know, I'm no fisherman. I don't go out on the boat. So just a little wobbling. But for these guys, they're experienced. This is a real battle here. And so they're afraid, they're worried, and all of a sudden, here comes this figure, you know, on the water. Jesus hadn't prepared them for this, you know. Jesus didn't go, hey, watch this trick, guys. I'm Jesus, I'm walking on the water. Oh, okay, that's Jesus, man, he can walk on the water. So that when this happened, they go, oh, there's Jesus walking on the water. They didn't know this. But he comes, and they're afraid, they look, they're afraid. And then he says, he doesn't go, ah, I'm just kidding. He says, don't be afraid, it's me. It's me. You know, we get ourselves into storms, or storms come our way, we can't avoid them. And very often we're wondering, where is Jesus? Where is he at in this? Does he see what's going on? And he's there. He's walking in the storm with us. Sometimes we're just not looking at him. We're not looking toward him. You know, when they saw him and they understood who he was, it changed everything for them, especially Peter. Notice that Jesus told them to get in the boat, and it led them to this storm. This is important because we need to understand as Christians, we go through storms, even when you're in God's will. Because some seem to think that storms come because, oh, I'm in sin, or I made a mistake, or I did. Hey, consequences do come for sure. There's some storms we bring on ourselves, but there are times when you are following the Lord, you're doing everything God wants you to do, you're in His will, and the storms still come. They just do. Sickness happens. It happens. We go through storms. Because notice it says that Jesus made them get into the boat. The word really means to compel. In other words, He's saying, get in the boat. It's okay. I don't want you to be confused about what I'm saying. Yes, go on ahead of me. It was very clear that Jesus was telling them to go on ahead of them. That means that they were in this storm by the command or by the will of God. You know, Paul the Apostle endured his share of storms. There was a time on his third missionary journey, he's on his way back to Jerusalem, and he's hanging out in Caesarea at Philip the Evangelist's home. They're having a good time. Agabus, who's a prophet, comes and hangs out with them. And Agabus takes Paul's belt, ties himself up, and starts to say, whoever owns this belt, he's going to be beaten, and it's not going to go well for him in Jerusalem. And the people start saying, oh, he's a prophet, Paul. Don't go, Paul. Don't go, Paul. And Paul says, look, I'm ready to go and die. You know, many commentators, many Christians look at this and they interpret this as Paul not listening to God because Agabus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Agabus said exactly what he should say. What he said was true. Agabus said, this is going to happen. He didn't say, Paul, God is saying don't go. Because see, Paul was aware of that truth. Yeah, things are going to happen. But he said, I am ready to go. Because though God has told me through Agabus that these things are going to happen, and they did, God has also told me that that's my cup. I'm going that direction. And nothing dissuaded him. Nothing deterred him. Sometimes we go through storms, unknowingly, even knowingly. That's a Christian. That's somebody who follows Christ. Because wherever he is, that's where you want to be. You know, this is not a story. This is today. It's something that's happening in Iran. I don't know if you guys have heard of Saeed and Nagma Abedini. They're from Iran. They actually attended. She still does. She's traveling now, speaking out for her husband, who's in Evin prison in Tehran, Iran. They attend Calvary Chapel in Boise, Idaho. And he's now in Evin prison, enduring torture and all for his faith because he loves the Lord. And he's Iranian. He should be a Muslim. And so while they're going through all of that, she's traveling around trying to speak out on his behalf, that he should be released. This isn't right. And she's just sharing, well, the gospel. She's being given opportunities to share the gospel and their story, their testimony. But one of the stories that she told was about one of their earlier ventures into Iran. And they had gone, they were staying at a home church. The ministry leader was still there and they were there talking to them. And somebody made a noise and called them outside. So they go outside and they find themselves getting jumped. They get jumped, they get taken, stuffed into vehicles and rushed off, and they end up at this compound. It's a compound that's like a square or maybe a rectangle, rooms all along the outside. Inside is an open court. Now they're out there to minister and to serve the Lord and to encourage some in the church. They have a heart for their people. So they're in the will of God. But they're taken into this and they're gone individually, the three of them, room to room to room, back and forth, all over, all night, being questioned on their faith, what they believe, why they believe it, what's happened, until around 3 o'clock, they're taken into one area and she and the ministry leader from the house church were there, or actually the two guys, Saeed and the ministry leader were there, and they took her in first to question her. And they asked her, you know, if she's a Christian. She said, if you will renounce Christianity and say that you're a Muslim, all this can go away. You and your husband can walk away free. No problems. But, he said, if you do not, if you refuse to renounce Christianity, you are going to die a slow, horrible death in the women's prison where you will endure both torture and rape until you're dead. Now, this is what's going on, and this is the input. And she said in that single moment, she said the only thing she could think about was, how real is Jesus to me? That was it. She started to get her eyes on Jesus. He became very real in that moment. She said in her heart, the fear that was so great in that moment, she didn't want to say anything. But she said what came out was, I'm a Christian. She said, it just came out. And so the guy was angry and asked her why and what happened. And so she gave her testimony that she was in America, and at 9 years old, she became a Christian. And so the guy concluded that she must have been brainwashed. She was too young to understand such things, but that her confession of her faith and her conversion would be her condemnation. So in came her husband. And her husband, Saeed, comes in and they ask him the same things. And he's angry and he says, well, how did you convert and what age were you? And he said he was over the age of accountability for a Muslim. He was a man. And so this enraged the guy, who seemed to want to kill him right on the spot because he had no, you were brainwashed, you were too young. He was just outraged at this whole thing. So over the process, the guy began to take them down to where they were going to be condemned, had their little file folders on each of them, and he just kind of stopped. Now, let me backtrack for just a moment. Saeed later on said that he got the courage to say, I'm a Christian, and share because his wife said she was a Christian. He, at that time, he could hear her out in the hall, and he heard that she was a Christian. She said it, and so that gave him the strength to do that. So now they're on their way down to condemnation, and the guy stops, and he wants to talk to Saeed. So they set out, and they go in, and they're further away from the room they go to, so she can't hear him. They can't hear what's going on. But they go into the room, and Saeed is sitting there with the guy, not knowing what he wants. Maybe he's mad at him. He converted. Maybe he's going to kill him on the spot. They don't know. They're totally in God's hands, really, at his mercy. And the ministry leader started to pray and tell her that they should pray. Pray that God will shut his mouth. Pray that God will tell him to stop egging the guy on, that he'll just, you know, whatever's happened, let's just move on from this. And so the guy was praying that way. And Nagma, she was saying, she was sitting, she couldn't hear him, but she could see him, that his mouth was constantly moving. She said in her heart, she's like, those prayers are not working because he is talking and he's talking passionately, as she couldn't see the other guy. After all that, they came out and she noticed that the guy, when he came out, the Iranian, he was visibly different and it looked like he was trying to hold back tears. So they were being marched, not knowing what in the world was going to happen. He stopped. He looked, he took their files, and he tore them. He said, I'm going to dispose of these. We're going to let you guys go, but don't ever come back. Don't ever come back. Now, Saeed, obviously that'll build your faith, right? When you see God do something like that, you take the stand and they might kill you right on the spot. That'll build your faith, but this man had enough faith that God called him to go back in to Iran. And to minister, he's not out there on the street corners telling everybody to convert or die. He's just going to encourage the church. He's underground. And yet, because he had been there, because he was told not to come back, they're mistreating him and mishandling him. And we're just praying for him that He'll come out of that and be reunited with his family. But this is a man and this is a woman who've overcome their fear. Now let me ask you, what are you afraid of? How easily are you stumbled or snifled because of fear? What will you not do? Because I'm afraid, Lord. I'm afraid to go say something to that person. They look mean. What if they say no? What are you afraid of? See, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, like they were able to keep their eyes on Jesus, fear goes away. You're able to overcome fear. Fear is overcome by faith. We have to keep our eyes on Him. Faith is not claiming something. I claim this. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. Lord, give me, give me, give me. That is a spoiled person. That's what that is. I want what I want. I want this, Lord Jesus, and I claim it in your name. That's being spoiled. We see it in kids, right? I want this, mommy. I want it. I want it. I want it. We tell them, don't do that. That's like a spoiled brat. And then adults will turn, I want it, Jesus. I claim it. I want it. I want it. What are you? You're doing the same exact thing. That's not faith. Faith is fixing your eyes on Jesus and where He is, wanting to be there, though it costs you everything. Though you may risk everything. It's important to know that Jesus is leading. That's why prayer is so important. Chuck Smith used to say, I don't want to direct the Holy Spirit. I just want to find out what He's doing and get on with that. Get on board with that. I want to follow Him because what God wants to do, that's what gets done. There are storms that come our way as a result of being in God's will. And there are storms that come our way as a result of the consequences of our choices and our sin. Unfortunately, the storms that come our way as the consequences of our choices and our sin also affect others. Exhibit A, Jonah. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and preach. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh and preach. Maybe he didn't like the Ninevites. He surely didn't like them, but for whatever reason, ultimately, he ran the other way. I'm going to run from God. So he ran, he got on the ship, and he's sailing the opposite direction, and a storm comes. And not only did this storm rain and pour and thunder and fear give fear to Jonah, but also those on board. And they serve different gods and they're trying to figure out which God can help them. What's your God? Who's your God? You know, what God can stop this? And Jonah finally said, that's me. I serve the one true and living God and I'm running from Him. And basically said, if I do the right thing, this storm will stop. Or if you guys get rid of me and force me to do the right thing or kill me, then the storm will stop. See, God, whichever storm you may find yourself in today, whether I'm following the Lord and the storms are coming, or I've created this storm myself through disobedience and bad choices, whatever storm you find yourself in, here's the good news. God will still be with you in it. Now, one requires faith to continue to walk and to continue to follow Him. The other requires faith to repent. Without repentance, turning from the wrong things, not just saying sorry for them, Lord, sorry for it, but I'm going to keep doing it, turning from them, then God is more than willing to walk with you. He never stands on the shore going, oh, you got yourself into that one. I'm over here at the shore. Come on. No, He walks on the water. And in many cases, if you look to Him, you'll be walking on the water too.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know You more.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there, or search for us in the iTunes store. Use Calvary Chapel Solid Rock as you search. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.